Father, we thank you that you love us, and that love we can experience here on earth, a love that surpasses anything else in the world, a love that's so intimate that we can become one with you, that we prepare our heart as a bride for you, to be joined to you, one heart, one mind, one spirit. And Lord, we thank you for the touch of your love in our lives. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. So, Lord bless you. Love on someone as you take your seats.
He loves us.
He loves us.
Oh, how he loves us.
This banner over us is love. It's just such a joy to be here and to be in the presence of God. It's a fulfillment of years of God's speaking and laying in our heart the desire for a fellowship of people who, rather than actually doing, are more being with God. And out of that place of rest comes the work of God, the obedient end of the rest. And I'm just excited. The expectation of just the relationship that God's building with himself and with one another. I think out of that incredible love, it actually is expressed to the world. They will know that we are followers of Christ because why? Our love. Isn't it? Seems very simple. How will they know that we follow him? Because of his love. That love is extraordinary in its manifest presence and how he can touch every single human being and restore. I sense there's such a desire in the heart of so many of you here tonight to come back to the simplicity of that first love. So often we're so busy doing rather than just being. Being with God without an agenda, without a, I've got a plan. We've actually, coming tonight, it's been amazing, we've had next to no plan. The plan is that we've actually come here to worship God and to meet with him and pray that in our worship and our sharing and our speaking that you also encounter him and that there's a freedom for you to express that in however you feel comfortable. For some people, it's very emotive. Other people, it's very quiet and deep. It's fine, isn't it? Be at peace in who you are in Christ. Try not to be someone else or perform. The whole key is just to be who you are in the Lord. You find your true identity in Christ. And you'd have to be free to express that. One of the scriptures that led us to this point is Kingsgate. It's in Psalm 24. It talks about who may ascend the hill of the Lord and who may stand in his holy place. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood, nor sworn deceitfully, but he shall receive a blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. For this is the generation of those who seek him, who seek his face. So there is an incredible desire to be in the holy place, in the hill of the Lord, to stand in his glory, and to see his face. Now, the only way we can stand there, of course, is he who has a clean hands and a... How many have got that? Three of you. How many know we need a lot of help? To stand in the place of the Lord where we can have a clean heart. Come on. Pure hands. Who can stand there? Well, actually, none of us can stand there, apart from the blood of Jesus, which can wash my heart as white as snow, isn't it? Cleanse us from all defilement and all sin. Cleanse our hands. So apart from the blood of Jesus, none of us will see the Lord. Now, of course, the pure in heart will see God. So let's just take a few moments to ask God to forgive us of our sins. Would that be helpful? Before we go any further in this meeting, let's just take some time, and I want you to begin to ask God to forgive you of the sins that He shows you, that you either know about or you're not sure about, but you know what I mean? So, Father, we thank You that Your Holy Spirit comes to convict us of sin, righteousness and judgment. And Your desire is not to condemn us, but to convict us, that we might turn from our sin, that we might ask for the blood of Jesus to wash us and cleanse us. So, Lord, show us our sin. In Jesus' precious name. As God begins to show you, I'd like you just to speak that out to Him. If you have the courage to speak it out publicly, say, Lord, I'm sorry for the sin. Please forgive me for my anger, Lord, for my unforgiveness, for my judgments, Lord. And cleanse us, Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like it, just as an act of surrender, just lift your hands up to the Lord. Say, Lord, clean my hands and clean my heart. Purify with Your precious blood. Wash me as white as snow, that I might see You, the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we thank You that You can open up the gates. It says, lift up ye gates. You lifted up our ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates. Lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The Lord of hosts, He is the King of glory. And so, Lord, we do. We open up the doors of our heart, as we see in the book of Revelations. Open them up as you stand at the door and knock, and we say, ancient doors, open up. Doors in our heart, open up, that Your glory may come in, that You might be magnified in our midst, that You are truly the King of kings and Lord of lords. And we invite You to take this church, each individual, each living stone, and begin to purify and transform us, Lord, into a living temple, into a living house, one that will reflect and just shine Your light. Hallelujah. That, Lord, You are the cornerstone, the precious stone, paid for, laid down. We place You as the foundation stone afresh in our lives. We place You afresh, Lord, in this church. Because, Lord, without You, nothing will take place. And where we receive You as the cornerstone and foundation in our life. And we pray, Lord, that You would build Your church. You would build Your house. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. We find in John chapter 10, which for me was an extraordinary scripture, because when I stood before Jesus when I died, Jesus was the door of light. It says here in John 10, 7 and 9, Jesus said, truly, truly, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door, and if anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is not only the Savior, but He is the door into eternity. I know that to enter into the realms of heaven, the key and only access into an open heaven is through Jesus Christ. And John saw that in the book of Revelations. He was caught up in the Spirit on the day of the Lord, and he saw Christ glorified. And when Jesus stepped aside, what did he see? A door opened in heaven. He was caught up in Revelations 4:1 into the throne room and saw the Father, saw the angelic host, and saw the throne room heaven. Jesus is and the only way into the Father. There's no other way. We have free access into the realms of glory through Christ. For 26 years, my personal experience has been to come in the Spirit into the presence of Jesus. And he's not dead. He's alive. And he's full of light. And his hands are outreached towards you. And when you come in, I found what would amaze me was the waves of love and peace and joy, the comfort. The realms of the Holy Spirit, which is glorifying, the Holy Spirit glorifying Jesus, the realms of that tangible presence ministering to us and drawing us in to see Jesus himself in his glorified form. And that's the place of rest. It's the place of acceptance. That's the place where the purity and holiness of Jesus is transferred into you. From that place, I found that when Jesus stepped aside, he opened up the new heavens and the new earth. John the Apostle spent 22 chapters experiencing and trying to show us as believers how and what is in front of us for those who believe. That you can actually step into the things of God and see the river of life, see the throne room, see him, experience him, taste and see that the Lord is good. And so the desire of the group of folks that have gathered in prayer is that the Lord will be glorified, and that we would have an open gate, an open heaven above us individually and corporately. And from that position would come the river of God's blessing, the river of God's healing flowing into us and into the community of people around us, with signs, wonders, and miracles taking place. And that the basis of the leadership is that it is very low base. Through the understanding of Ephesians 4:11-13, the fivefold, that Christ has given to the church apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, so that they may equip the body for the work of ministry, bring about unity in the faith, and to actually glorify the Lord. In doing that, we need to work together. And we need to realize that we are part of the body and that we have different gifts, that we can actually honor the other gifts and to love. And I'm interested in more, I'm finding, to love the person. Before the gift, before the anointing, before the actual power of God that operates through them, to actually love the person. Does that make any sense to you? Not to love what you can do, but to actually love you. Find out about you. So for the last 6 months, we've been actually having in our meetings before we came in this public setting, testimonies. And from those testimonies, we're actually discovering people. And if Christ puts in the book of Revelations that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we do not love our life even unto death, he is placing our testimony up with the power of the blood and martyrdom. Do you understand that? Now, I've been in church for years. How many have been in church for years? You know, the scary thing is you may not even get to know anyone. What is a delight for my soul? Can we have folks that have been involved in the prayer group for the last 6 months that have committed to Kingsgate? Can you just stand for a moment? Just for a moment. And have a look around at them. What's so exciting for me is that they are friends. I actually enjoy hanging out with them. I mean, one good test of friendship is if you'd be willing to leave your children with them and trust them with your kids. Come on. Might seem very basic, But I am in a place in my age and God that I am more interested in real relationships with people and building a group of believers based upon a friendship and love that's actually wrought in Christ. And out of that, I believe anything's possible. The expression of God's love through relationship will actually bring a revival of unprecedented merit. Because they'll know that we are his disciples because we, not that we move in signs, wonders, and miracles, but because we, the greatest is, greatest is love. Amen. Just I'm going to ask my wife to come and share. For the last 20 years we've been married, and my wife and I have been through the journey of coming to tonight, so it's great.
Hi. Funny enough, I got kind of a similar thing. This is all a little bit unreal in the sense that it's finally happening. And really, this is God's vision. He gave it to Ian over 20 years ago. I caught it. We've been praying, believing for, longing for, looking for God to do it. Because it's much more than us. And what he was talking was a company of people. And so therefore, he had to bring those people together and he had to put it in their hearts. And finally, after all these years, we're seeing it happen. And that for me is so exciting, finding out who these people are. And so like Ian said, we kind of didn't come with a plan because all along, he's given us an overview, but it's like, we're waiting for and looking and trying to move with him step by step. And in thinking about today, I thought, God, what do you want me to say? And really more than bringing a word or preaching, I want to pray in that this is kind of, it's not the very beginning because like Ian said, we've been meeting and God's been drawing a bunch together, but this is kind of the first public thing that we've done. And when Solomon finished building the temple, he dedicated it to God. And God came. And I think, well, we're certainly not finished. We're really just starting. He's starting. But right from that outset, that very most public place today, I really want to dedicate it to him and ask that he come in. But in doing that last night again, I woke in the night and I saw the sword of the Lord. That sharp, two-edged sword that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And it came and it cut my heart. It cut our hearts and penetrated them deep. I think that's always what he wants to do. That sword, it's the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. And I saw him on a white horse. His name is Faithful and True. And I saw him like at the back of the gate, the door, you know, just there with the armies of heaven. And they're dressed in white and they're just waiting. It's like Ian said, he's the door. He stands at the door and knocks. He's there. He's wanting to come. We got to invite him in. And that's an individual thing, and then that becomes a corporate thing. Thought, yeah, Lord, we're King's Gate. This is your gate. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And unless you come, we might as well not bother. So I thought we're just one expression. You know, one more church, in a sense, in this city. So, Lord, I want to bless all the churches of London, all your churches around the world, and acknowledge that we are yet another expression of what you want to do in this city. And Lord, I just acknowledge that everything good comes from you. Yeah. And that all we are belongs to you, or it needs to belong to you. And Lord, that anything we ever do needs to be done for your glory. So, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would ride with triumph into our hearts. We welcome you. We welcome you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That you would ride with triumph into our hearts, into this your church, into Kingsgate, and that the hallmark would always be the word of the Lord. Lord, it would be heard from the front, corporately. It would be heard individually, yeah, as people sit in their seats. It would be heard between each other. It would be heard as we spill out into the streets. Because, Lord, your word brings life. You spoke and there was life. And without you, there is nothing that was made. Amen.
And the Lord has given us the keys to the kingdom. Is that right? Keys to the kingdom of heaven. And so I believe he'll start to unlock mysteries on how to open up the realms of glory that we might enter in. Keys are used to open up doors. And we're given keys to the kingdom of heaven. And there are mysteries in that that Christ reveals to those who seek him. And so I'm excited by what's in front of us. I'm excited by the relationship that God's building. And let's just continue to worship. And I've invited some of the folks here that are part of our, I think there are nearly 50 of us. Any words of knowledge, any words of gifts on, you know, words of knowledge on healing, prophetic words. I would like our ministry team, if you'd just bear with us this night. This is our first night, so we haven't got a clue what we're doing. And I know there are a number of folks out here that do minister and have, ministry experience. But if you could just allow us just to minister as we've been doing in the last 6 months, and the folks that have actually got some of these more plasticky-looking badges on. And we would like to minister, pray, and see what the Lord would have to say prophetically. We'd like to officially close the meeting on time at 8:30, which will give opportunity for this tea and coffee for folks to leave if they need to. The likelihood of us as a ministry team leaving at 8:30 is mostly about zero. But I wanted to give freedom to every person that came that we'd start on time, and that each Sunday at 8:30 we would close the meeting and give folk an opportunity to go if they needed to. Does that make any sense? Because I am sick of meetings dragging out and you feel very uncomfortable not being able to want to leave. So Lord bless you for coming. We'd like to just spend a little bit more time in worship, a little bit more time bringing words and asking the Lord to touch. Okay? Fine with that? Thank you for letting us struggle through this first night. Bless you.